James chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, let's ready to begin. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tame, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I bet you can take a guess on what the subject for the sermon is tonight. James chapter 3 is the atomic bomb on the tongue, and it does not hold back any words about our tongue. That's kind of a little joke in itself, but it's talking about the tongue, and it's very clear about the danger of the tongue, the power of the tongue, and of how to use it and not use it. So we're going to look at this subject tonight of faith with your words as we continue through the book of James. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Lord, ask for your help with the message tonight, Lord, that you would speak through your word, of course, as you promised, but Lord, would you speak through me as well, and may it be helpful, may it be challenging, convicting, and Lord, may it be biblical, of course. Thank you, Lord, for the night to meet together in church, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, may be seated. The book of James is really about a Christian putting their faith to work, putting their faith, their belief into practice. A couple of the main verses from the book of James is, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The book of James is challenging us not just to be a hearer, but a doer. And many times we may say that we believe something, but unless if we do it, then it's just words. There's no faith put to our action or to our belief, and so it's really just talk at that point. We looked in James chapter 2 that it talks about faith without works is dead. Faith without the works is dead. That doesn't mean that if you don't work your way into salvation that you're not saved. Works are never part of salvation. The Bible clearly teaches that. But what the Bible is teaching is that as a Christian, we need to put our faith to work, and that being saved and doing nothing is a dead Christian. And we have too many dead Christians many times filling our churches, filling our country, people that say that they're saved but never go to church, never open their Bible, never pray, don't live a separated life. Well, that's faith without works. That's dead. There's nothing to show for that Christian life. There's no fruit. And the Bible says, by your fruit, you shall know them. And as a Christian, my job as a Christian is to live my life to glorify the Lord and to point people to Jesus Christ. But other people see your works. They see your light. They see your example, and we should have a faith that's alive, not a faith that's dead. In this chapter, we're looking at the power of the tongue and how powerful and yet how destructive the tongue can be. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I think today more than ever, we see how powerful the tongue is and how much the word is. The tongue has always been powerful and always been destructive, but you knew we were going to get to it. But social media has really just poured gasoline on the fire of how destructive the tongue can be. Because now you don't have to say it face to face to someone. You can type it and put it out there for the world to see. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, the Bible says. I believe in the First Amendment. It gives the freedom of speech. freedom of speech, you can say what you want, and I'm thankful for the freedom of speech. But many people take that to abuse it, the power of the freedom of speech. There is much discrepancy on this, but the average person speaks around 16,000 words a day. I saw some reports of women that speak much more than that, and men that speak much less than that, and that can vary quite a bit. 16,000 words a day. I forget exactly how many days it was, but if you were to take all the words that you speak in a day and compile them together, that you could write a novel, I believe it was in a week, of your speech. Sometimes we may think, oh, my words don't matter that much, but yes, they do. And you may think, well, no one's listening to me. Yes, someone is. Whether it be someone here or someone up there, someone is always listening. Remember this, that God hears every single word that we speak. So let's get into the message tonight, faith with your words. In verse number 1, the Bible says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I want to talk to you about some dangers of your speech before we really get into the heavy verses about your tongue. As I mentioned already, this is going to be very direct, because the Word of God is very direct, especially the book of James is very direct about the Christian life. And the book of James is really about Christians being real. Being real. Don't you love people that are just real? They are who they say, and they say who they are, and there's no guessing game there. And really, the opposite of being real is being a hypocrite. There's probably nothing that hurts the cause of Christ more than a hypocritical Christian. Even not only for the Christian, for other Christians that watch a hypocritical Christian, someone that preaches something, says something, and doesn't back it up, how damaging that is, but for lost people as well. People that know that you're a Christian and you say one thing and then do another, what a danger that can be. So we're going to look at the power of our words, but really the danger of our words. And the first danger we're going to look at is the danger of being many masters. In verse 1, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. To be a master is a teacher. You say, I'm not a teacher. Yes, you are. You are always teaching someone by your words and by your actions. We're teaching. The Bible says to be not many teachers. Why? For a couple of reasons. Maybe because people talk too much. You know those people that just talk and just it just doesn't stop. It goes from one conversation to the next one. And it is not really a conversation. You're just being talked to. You don't really get any part in that conversation. It's just talking. Many words get us in trouble. Many words, we can get ourselves into trouble because we start talking about things that we should not be talking about. Have you ever said too much and wished you could take it back? Probably just me, probably no one else in the room, but you said too much and wish you could take it back. But here's the thing, once it's out, you can't catch it and pull it back. It's out there for anyone to hear that's around you. You ever been talking, not gossiping, but sharing prayer requests with other Christians? And then someone comes around the corner that hears your conversation, and all of a sudden you realize you just stuck your foot in your mouth, and you wish that somehow you could take it back. And you try reeling it back, and I didn't mean it, and that's not what I meant, and you know, someone, you know, we're trying to pull back somehow, and I apologize, I didn't really mean that at all. The danger of being many masters is the danger of speaking too much. Did you see what she was wearing? Did you hear what he did? Did you see what their child did? And then you can get into other subjects. I don't want to get you all riled up tonight with those. But just talking too much. Couple things of dangers of being many masters. First is this, are you a hypocritical teacher? Are you a hypocritical teacher? Again, James challenges us about being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Here's the thing. Coming to church truly doesn't make you a better Christian. You're obedient coming to church, but if you don't let God speak to your heart and you determine to leave changed and different, then you left just the same that you came. How many times have you come to that you read your Bible, but you really got nothing out of it? And we can teach and say one thing, but if we don't do it, that's hypocritical. And it's a danger of being many masters. This does not mean that you cannot teach. It's condemning hypocritical teaching. In James chapter 1, verse number 8, it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A person that's going this way and going that way, let's put it this way, a person that is acting like a Christian on Sunday, but living like a lost person the rest of the week. Well, that's many masters. You're saying one thing and then doing the other. A double-minded man, but again, a doer of the word, that we should do what we say. And when God challenges us in our life, we should follow through with that. Now, let's get this straight. No one is perfect at being a doer of the word. No one has said, I determine in my life to be surrendered to God and to give this up to the Lord, whatever it may be, and you never struggle with it again. There's no one like that. Maybe there's an area you surrendered to God and you didn't struggle with that again, but there's areas in your life where you've surrendered to God over and over and over again, and you said, Lord, forgive me for what I said or thought or did. But let's not be hypocritical teachers. A danger of being many masters, are you a hypocritical teacher, but also is this, are you the expert on every subject, and you must always impart your knowledge and opinion to others? You know that person that they always have an opinion on something or someone? Please don't point to them tonight. An expert, someone that has got, they're always telling someone something, and they've always got to be teaching others. You know, there's a great lesson to learn in life about not speaking too much. You know that you don't get in trouble as much. I wouldn't say never, but you don't get in trouble as much for the things that you don't say than what you do say. But those people that they are the expert on everything, and they must tell you and teach you about parenting and dress and fashion and child rearing and all those other touchy subjects that you want opinion about. Remember this, if people don't ask for your opinion, they probably don't want to hear it. And the Bible challenges us about not being many masters and trying to always teach others. You know what? Many times the ones that are trying to constantly teach others are the ones that struggle many times the most in those areas themselves. They're always trying to fix other people instead of working on themselves. I told you this was going to be very direct. But are you the expert on every subject? And you must teach others all the time. And then thirdly on this subject, are you always talking and never willing to listen? The Bible says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. You know what one the Bible leaves out? Our mouth. You know what? Because I was talking to someone the other day, and I'm trying to remember who it was, but he said, you know what I've learned many times? That you don't learn much with your mouth open. And I said, that's great. I'm going to use that one. You don't learn a whole lot talking, but you learn a whole lot more listening. So the danger of just talking, not willing to listen. People that are always speaking, giving their opinion. Now, men and women are different at this, but we all have our struggles with it. As a man, as a husband, when your wife comes to tell you that she has a problem, as a husband, what do we want to do? We want to fix it. My job is now to fix what you told me, whatever it is, unless if I can call someone else to fix it, if it's plumbing, electrical, and all that. But if your wife tells you a problem, many times, now I wouldn't say always, but many times they don't want you to fix it. They just want you to listen to them. And you're like, but I'm here to fix your problem. And they don't want you to fix it at that time. They want you to listen to what they're saying. But too many times we're busy talking and not listening. The Bible says, be not many masters. You know what? When I'm the master, I'm not letting God be the master. When I'm always talking, giving my opinion, thinking I'm right about it, instead of saying, what does God say about this? Well, what does God want me to do? Well, why don't we pray and talk to God about this issue instead of entering mouth first? Let's pause and say, God, what would you want me to do? So the danger of being many masters, we looked at those, but how about this? God should be my master. God should be my master. It shouldn't be me being in charge and entering the room mouth first. It should be God, would you control my words and my speech? Matthew 23 says, Jesus was condemning the Pharisees, I believe it was. But he says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master. Even Christ and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for there is For one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. See, many times we put ourselves up as the know-it-all in an area instead of saying, God, you know it all. Right? And instead of saying, God, you are all-knowing, not me being all-knowing. God is my master. But secondly, this, the Bible is my master. When someone comes to tell us a subject or you hear something, say, let's look at what the Bible says about it. You ever had someone ask you a question and you started answering before you started thinking, what does God say about this? You know, there's nothing wrong with someone asking you a question and maybe trying to get advice, and you say, you know what, can I pray about that before I respond to you? Can I look in the Word of God and see what would God say about this matter? Because understand this, no one has all the answers. Myself included. Don't think because I'm the pastor that I have all the answers. I don't. And that's why I pray and look through books and call people and say, what should I do in this matter? But know this, though, that the Word of God, the law, is my master. And God has given us knowledge to help us through life. God has given us a guidebook, a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. And I'm not the master. God is my master. The Word of God is my master. And I'm the servant following the master. So there's the danger of being many masters. But then number two is this, the danger of many condemnations. It says this, my brethren, be not many masters in James 3:1, knowing that we shall receive the what? I think you lost your place there. Maybe I had to turn you somewhere. I'm not sure. James 3:1, it says, knowing that we shall receive the what? Greater condemnation. That word condemnation is judgment and sentence. Know this, that every word that we say will be judged by God. Know this, first of all, that every word that we say is heard by God, but then everything we say and do will also be judged by God as well. And the Bible says not to be, many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, let's finish it, the mouth speaketh. It comes from the heart and the mouth speaketh. You ever said something and said, well, I didn't mean it. Well, it says here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then it says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned, the Bible says. Every idle word spoken, the Bible says, that God will judge us according to those, whether they're good or whether they're bad. The danger of many condemnations is this, that God judges us and God corrects us, punishes us when we get out of line. Remember that the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. When your child says something that they shouldn't, what do? Don't say that. I grew up in the generation, as some of you older generation did, it's not acceptable now. If you said something you shouldn't, you got your mouth washed out in soap. I would say it to others, and they would say it, and they would get in trouble. So that's how I got around that. I would say it to my family, and they would say that and get themselves in trouble. But God's going to judge what we say. The other day I was driving, and I forget, someone pulled in front of me. It's a usual occurrence. Whenever you drive, someone crazy is going to be on the road with you at all times. And my kids were in the car with me, and I forget I was driving, and I was like, you stupid person, and said something, and my daughter in the back seat goes, Dad, we don't say that word. Why don't we need God to judge me when my daughter's back there judging me? God judges what we say. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They, in the New Testament, they sold their possessions, they brought them to the church, and the Ananias and Sapphira, they conspired together to lie about the amount that their property was sold for. And they brought it to the church, and the Holy Spirit told Peter that they lied about it. So he brought an Ananias and brought him in there and said, how much do you sell it for? And he said, well, this much. And he said, well, you lied not to men, but to the Holy Ghost. And because of this, you'll be killed. And he dropped down dead and drug him out. And then he said, well, I'm going to bring his wife in and see what she says now. Her, not knowing what just happened to her husband, came in and said the same thing. And he said, the ones that drug your husband out dead are about to drag you out now as well. And she died. Why? Because they lied to the Holy Ghost. God will judge what we say. There's a couple verses in Proverbs. I kind of, not laugh at them, but I kind of wonder exactly what God means with them, because they're back to back. In Proverbs 26, it says this, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So I should not answer a fool according to his folly. But the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Answer not a fool and answer a fool. So which one? That's having the wisdom to know what to say and when to say it and who to say it to. God judges what we say, but also God judges what we don't say. God judges what we don't say. You know that there's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak up. Many times we don't have a problem with the speaking up part. We have a problem more with the keeping quiet part. The Bible says this in Proverbs, though. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Even a foolish person, if they close their lips, seem to be a wise person. Don't be the first to speak, and someone will think that you're very wise. Let someone else speak first. In James chapter 1, it also says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift or quick to hear and slow to speak. Many times, we're quick to hear and quick to speak and quick to get ourselves into trouble because of what we say. God judges what we say and what we don't say. Have you ever noticed that those that tease others don't seem to be able to take it as well? Sometimes the sarcastic ones, the joking ones, the ones always picking on others are the ones that can't handle it. When you do that back to them, know what to say, when to say it, who to say it to. Remember this, God sees everything that we do. He hears everything that we say, and also he knows everything that we think. So before we think no one's going to hear, no one's going to see, no one's going to know, as Christians, we know better, don't we? We know better that God sees everything done in secret, done in public. He knows and sees everything. God even knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. So here's to tell you this. You're getting away with nothing. Right? You're getting away with nothing. See, sometimes we think, well, no one saw, no one heard, the boss wasn't here, mom and dad weren't there. But God is always there. And God judges what we say, what we don't say. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. That should make us think. To think, there's the danger of, first of all, being many masters. There's the danger of many condemnations or judgments. But then there's also the condemnation in verse number 2 of many offenses. In verse 2 it says, for in many things we offend all. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're just going around hurting people? You feel like you're stumbling down the hill and you just can't catch a break. You're falling. You ever have that dream and you're just falling and you can't stop and you're trying to run away and you can't run away and you just feel like there's that day going on and you just can't catch a break, but it's your fault that you can't catch a break? You're like, Lord, help me. Stop me next time before I get in trouble. The Bible says we have the danger of many offenses. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, look at this, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know that the tongue, we'll look at in the next verses with a few illustrations, examples, that if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. The tongue is really the key to the control of the Christian life, of your body, of keeping yourself under subjection to the Lord. Have you ever said this? I said it, I just didn't mean it. You know that funny response that wasn't the best response? You know what I mean? That quick response that seemed like it was good at the time and it did not go over so well? or I'm sorry, it just slipped out, but then you said it, you didn't really mean it, or that much, but then someone on the other side is just offended. And you can tell when you say something and the other person, you just hurt their spirit. Maybe they lash out to you. Maybe they walk away quietly. Maybe they avoid you, whatever the case may be. But the Bible says, for in many things we offend all. Remember how Paul was so concerned that he would offend other younger Christians? That he wouldn't eat that meat offered to idols? There was nothing wrong with the meat. And if there's any meat, we should probably eat it, is my thought in life. But Paul said if it was meat offered to idols and if it was a stumbling block to others, he wouldn't participate in that because he didn't want to offend others. You know how many times in our life that we offend others by what we say? And I'm not talking about just other Christians. Maybe it's family, maybe someone in your church, but lost people as well. How many times have people used that offense as a reason to stop coming to church, to stop living for God, simply because we cannot control ourselves, and going back to we're just being hypocritical in our speech? In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. So Jesus is saying this, it's impossible that you're not going to offend someone. Does it make you feel better tonight? Oh, good, I feel better about that. No one's perfect, okay? The Bible says this, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Offending someone that could come to Christ and by something that we say or do would be the reason that they would not get saved, come back to church, be in that class. Woe unto them through whom offenses come. They're going to come, but woe unto them through who they come. Now, this is talking about us not being an offense to others. But also, let me challenge you with this, that we should not be offended easily as well. Remember this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why? Because if someone offends me, the Word of God is still perfect. The Word of God is still pure. That God is still on the throne. That God still saves. So maybe someone that I trusted and followed and they got off track, well, I can still follow God. I should not be offended and get off track in my Christian life because someone else got off track. But also, we should not be the one through whom offenses come. I would hate it if I was the reason that someone stopped coming to Shasta Baptist Church. I would hate it if I was the reason that someone would not listen to the gospel. Now, if someone's offended by the Word of God, then they're offended, and they're offended by the truth. But if someone's offended by me and what I say or do, woe unto me if someone is offended by what I say or what I do. Psalm 141 says this, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Says this, set a watch or a guard before my mouth. Have you ever been with someone and you said something and you turned to them and said, why didn't you stop me from saying that? You knew I was going to get in trouble. Why did you not stop me from what I said? You know what we should say? Lord, would you help and stop me before I even get there? You say, but oh, when they do that, it really gets me worked up. That's not an excuse to say and do whatever we want just because that's our hot tub topic, button, issue, whatever it may be. It says, set a watch before my mouth. God, would you guard what I say? And then it gives this very clear illustration and example, and it says, keep the door of my lips. A door is open or closed. When the mouth is open, the floodgates open sometimes, and you say, God, would you help me to stop it? You know, many times the less we say, the less we get in trouble. The less we offend, the less we say things that we should not. There is a time to speak, but there's also a time to be quiet. As a closing thought, think about this in regards to your lips, your mouth, your speech. You choose to lie or tell the truth. You choose and I choose. If we're going to tell the truth or if we're going to tell a lie, you choose. No one makes you say anything. you choose to tell the joke that's not appropriate, or you choose to walk away when it's being said and not participate in that, but you choose what you say and what you're a part of. You choose to give the gospel or stay quiet. You choose, and I do as well. You choose to gossip or to stop the gossip, but you choose. You can be the many masters, many teachers, and going around, because we're always teaching someone by what we say, by how we live. Someone is always watching and following your example all the time. You say, I don't want to be an example. Well, you are either way. Be not many masters, being hypocritical by saying one thing and then doing another. And then the danger of many condemnations. So many things that I say or do in a day, the Holy Spirit says, don't say that. Don't do it. Don't go there. Watch your spirit. And yet, what do? Sometimes we run past that stop sign. It's more of a yield sign. Should I get into the roundabout situation right at this time? Lord, help me. But the Holy Spirit puts that yield sign up and says, hold on, slow down. And then we run through it. God, why didn't you help me stop? And God said, I tried to stop you. I tried helping you. And now the judgment time has come. And now we'll try to get these things right. But then the danger of many offenses. When I say and do whatever I want, I'm hurting everyone around me. Just leaving wreckage behind. But the Bible says, if you can control your tongue and offend not in word, you're able to, a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. This chapter is full of great truths to help us the next few weeks. You're going to love it. You're going to love these. I don't know if you're laughing or saying amen, one or the other. But so much of a challenge about what we say, how we say it, what we should and should not say. But I want to give you this thought tonight as we finish: the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you choose. Your words are going to be encouraging or discouraging. They're going to be holy or unholy. They're going to be uplifting or discouraging. And we could go down the list of everything there. But your speech, let's be on the right side. Would God be pleased? Would God want me to say that? Remember, if we don't know what to say, as your parents have told you from growing up, little kids, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Say, God, would you want me to say that? Let me just pause for a minute. Holy Spirit, what would you want me to say? Let me pray. Let me look in your word before I give a response, before I know and try to be the know-it-all in this area. God, what does your word say? That's our word of prayer as we finish tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word about the power of the tongue, and that we'd have the faith to follow you and your word, to be careful with our speech, with our words, how powerful our speech is for things that are right and helping people to come to Christ and encouraging and praying for others and uplifting, but also, Lord, how destructive our words can be for the cause of Christ, how we can hurt relationships and other areas in our life, Lord, when it comes to your word and the gospel, Lord, when we are saying things that are wrong or maybe living a hypocritical life in some way that our life does not back up what we're saying. Lord, help us to say and to do what's right before you. Lord, I pray you bless the offerings we take it tonight and use this challenge in our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take the offering tonight, gentlemen. If you come and be faithful to our giving tonight, please. let's stand for a word of prayer.